I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network. I welcome my colleague Richard Epstein, a senior fellow at the Hoover Institution, teaches law at NYU and the University of Chicago. We are talking about Chicago now, Chicago in the news. It is called the Obama Presidential Center, OPC. It is proposed to be built in a critical and gorgeous part of downtown Chicago, which Richard knows well. I've only ever walked the main street in Chicago and shopped. I do not know these parks. However, I learned that the OPC is a presentation through a series of obstacles that you must satisfy in order to build something that is as striking as this 235-foot tall tower. In addition to this, it needs parking and many facilities. But importantly, it is not a library. It is called the Obama Presidential Center, not a library. That will be someplace else. Richard, a very good evening to you. The objections to the Obama Presidential Center are legion. They have to do with the fact that there is an alternative site, that there are objections from the locals, from the neighborhood, certainly because it would become disruptive to this part of downtown Chicago and require new construction, not only of buildings, but also of roadways. However, you provide me a way of looking at this because I don't know Chicago. I do know Washington. I do know Union Station. I've spent many times.
I just mentioned one thing to you, John.
What's that?
Which it's not in downtown Chicago. It's on the south side of Chicago.
Well, thank you. See, I didn't even know to say that. The south side of
Chicago.
That's
right. And it's a big difference. Downtown is Grand Park, which is already a very successful facility.
So it is south side New York, but south side Chicago. But I do know Union Station, and you provide an analogy to what is now being proposed. Union Station is also gorgeous in the middle of everything, and there's a presentation to renovate Union Station, putting in, what, 1,575 parking spaces and moving large pieces of the neighborhood around. And that has paused because of objections of Congresswoman Eleanor Holmes Norton and the District of Columbia. That looks to me to be a good example of what is going on in Chicago with the reservations. Have I read you correctly, Richard? Good evening to you.
I think it's actually a more powerful case. The situation that you have with the Obama Presidential Center is trying to put something where nothing exists. Union Station is already there, and most of the renovations in question are going to be within the footprint. There is no reason to condemn any private houses or to tear down any vacant land. The reason why you need the renovations is these facilities get obsolete over time. One of the interesting features about the Union Station is it has a first-class convention hall dining center, which probably holds 3,000 or 4,000 people. And they try to let this thing out. And in order to do so, you do need a large number of parking spaces to make it work. There is space for that on the existing site. But the objection comes not to the site problems about this, but the claim that the use of many cars will encourage and increase the use of fossil fuels, which, of course, will happen if people take Uber or cabs or something else. And so they're trying to slow down this construction solely because of the parking. In the Obama presidential case, what we're worried about is destroying 1,000 old-growth trees, ripping up four major roads, wrecking the Mississippi Flyway. It's along Lake Michigan, and what it does is the migratory birds go north and south right along the coast. They don't go a mile inland, and for obvious reasons, they fish below it. It's going to snarl traffic on the south side, and it's going to take a World Historic Monument by the greatest landscape architect in the history of the United States, Frederick Law Olmsted, and take the heart of it, 19.2 acres out, to put this large 235-foot tower, a sports stadium, which they already have nearby, a conference center, which they don't need, and a city public library, which will serve no local tenants. So the whole thing is 20 acres for that. Once they rip all of that stuff out to put it into place, then they have to reconfigure the road station, and so you have to take away another 10 acres of the park. The park has about 580 acres or something like that, but half of this is water, and the land is not of uniform value or use. The stuff that they want to take is the most valuable portion and the most intensely used portion of Jackson Park. And there's absolutely no reason to do it. If you look to the west of Washington Park, there's a 10-acre plot of land which is near the freeway, near the Green Line, near the Red Line, near the trains. Major cross streets are already open and available, so it's easy to get in and out of it. You actually have a neighborhood that you could help improve with economic development. That site had been recommended previously, and for reasons that nobody knows publicly, the Obama Foundation, i.e. the president and Michelle Obama, decided that they wanted to have the fancy rent district, and they wanted to build the tower. Its major advantage to them is its visibility. You can see it up and down the lakefront, and you can see it up and down the Midway, which was, again, designed for the 1893 Columbian Exposition, and you can see it in both directions. It would be somewhat less conspicuous, but much more effective in the other place. So the only sense that you could have about this is that the Obamas treat the visibility of their center as being the single paramount virtue, and nothing else really seems to matter. Because by every other measure that you can conceive of, it is going to look much better if you put it in a place where it's more accessible to the very people whom they want to help. There are many undeveloped lots in the location near the Washington Pair sites, so that economic development, access, use of the whole thing is far better. And, in fact, what happens is you don't have water problems like you're going to have there. Lake Michigan is rising again, I think chiefly not because of climate change, but because Lake Superior is backing up. As the lake goes up, you're trying to build this thing next to a lagoon, which is attached to the lake, and you have very small footage between the two of them. You're going to have to put the whole 235-foot tower in some kind of a basket or barrel or bowl, and you're going to have to constantly drain it to keep this thing going. And as the lake gets higher, these demands get greater. So this seems to me to be one of the worst conceived projects developed. This has nothing to do with the political mission of the president. That's his business, not mine. Most of the people who are with me in this particular case are progressives from Hyde Park, a notoriously progressive community. So this has nothing to do with politics. It has everything to do with historic preservation, economic development, and environmental protection and traffic normality.
Where we are right now, according to your presentation, is that a number of agencies have issued a FONSI determination. I'm learning from you, Richard. Finding of no significant impact, FONSI, right up there with NIMBY, right? Not in my backyard. FONSI, all right. However, there's one FONSI that is in front of the Obama Presidential Center. That is the Department of Transportation. The Transportation Act says that the Secretary of Transportation, former mayor of South Bend, Indiana, Pete Buttigieg, has to sign off on this decision to create this Obama Presidential Center. Now, a detail I just mentioned because it's in the news. Mr. Buttigieg, or the Department of Transportation, has put a halt on a freeway expansion in Houston. They also evidenced in the new infrastructure bill they're interested in using infrastructure to restore neighborhoods that were damaged by the building of the highway system in America. It is well known that much of what's driving the infrastructure proponents is that they believe that the combustion automobile is old, out of fashion, and no longer acceptable. They want mass transit. They want trains. Isn't a big part of the paper that I read that you've written about this, about building roadways that do not need to exist except for this Obama Presidential Center, isn't Buttigieg being asked to vouchsafe the very thing that he's nixing in other parts of the country to be told?
Yeah, if this were a Trump proposal or anybody else, it would be forthwith turned down. It's all presidential legacy, President Obama returning to the south side of Chicago. But the disruption is paramount. You're going to have thousands of cars delayed 10 or 15 minutes each way going from the downtown area through the Hyde Park area to south side of Chicago or to northern Indiana. So it's an interstate road system going one to the other, and they're going to mess everything up. It's going to create extra pollution for no particular reason.
Don't they have to build new roadways? Don't they have to build a new roadway?
Well, it's going to cost several hundred million dollars, and those dollars are 2016 dollars. They're not 2021 dollars. If it ever gets built, it's going to create all sorts of short-term dislocations and massive traffic jams because you're going to have to close this. To give you some sense, Cornell Drive has six lanes in the relevant position, and it's a pretty smooth trip coming up from the south to the north. Lakeshore Drive has three lanes going north and two lanes going south, and they're going to try to replace the six lanes that are going to be shut by adding one southbound lane, and then they're going to try to widen a street called Stony Island Avenue, which is already wide, but on the one side it's fully occupied by buildings, and on the other side it's got trees and parkland. And it dead ends before you reach the freeway, and they're going to make it much more difficult to get to the Lakeshore Drive, not the freeway, because they're going to close down the Midway, which was, again, one of these architectural monuments where the monsters of the Midway at the University of Chicago. They're closing the eastbound trip so that you won't be able to get there. So, you know, in the short term, it's going to be complete pandemonium. In the long term, it's chronic inconvenience. It will divert traffic, increase things on the Dan Ryan Expressway, will drive many more people to drive through the city streets in Hyde Park, which are not really designed for through traffic. So the whole thing turns out to be a complete mess. The traffic studies that they did were completely inadequate. Amongst other things, they never bothered to ask what's going to happen with several things. One, peak load traffic. One of the things that you constantly understand is that traffic at night and at the morning may be heavier than the middle of the day. If it turns out that the Griffin Museum of Science and Industry is having a special show and the Obama Center is there, both of them feed off the same road system, there's simply going to be incredible traffic jams trying to put people together with the two of them. So there's seasonal effects that you have to take into account, their daily effects, their holiday effects, and none of this is really accounted for in this study. The parking garage, we don't even know who's paying for it. At least I can't figure it out. But it has to be put underground. And when you start putting something like that underground near water, the logistics of doing that are going to be extremely dangerous. So the whole thing essentially is just a bizarre concatenation of unwelcome elements that have no business whatsoever being in the park. One mentions racial equity. One of the ironies is there is a small golf course on the south end of Jackson Park, which is modest, and it's mainly used by local citizens, a large number of whom are retired African-American workers and people who live in the particular neighborhood. The grandiose President Obama wanted to take that whole course out, cannibalize more of Jackson Park to build a championship golf course that he and Tiger Woods, at least before he got injured, could romp and play on, disregarding what would happen to the locals. I mean, if you're somebody who is 68 years old and retired, you don't want to have your first tee of 488 yards. You want a much more modest course that you can play. And, you know, how often are you going to get a major tournament to a course like that? Maybe 4 days every 3 years? It's just a kind of a same sort of situation. And if you are constantly worried about environmental justice, as Mr. Buttigieg says, what you're doing is you're wrecking a Southside Park, which is largely used by African-American inhabitants. And what you're going to do is turn it into an elite operation that will be used by the president and his family. Ask what's going in the building. I don't know, but there's going to be a convention center on the top floor or a restaurant. Are there going to be office space for the Obama Foundation? There'll be a couple of floors for exhibit, but we've never seen the interior plan. And there'll probably be a large apartment for the Obamas to come to when they're not in Nantucket or in Hawaii or in Washington, D.C. So calling this thing a presidential center is important because if you try to treat it as a library, you flunk what the NARA statute, the National Archives and Record Act, because there you have to keep a building under 70 feet high. This thing is 235 feet high, and you actually have to have something that looks like a library in it, and this has none of those features. We do not actually have seen the interior plans. One of the things that would be important to do in any lawsuit is to actually figure out how much of this center turns out to have any conceivable public service and how much of it is essentially an operating arm of the
I want to talk about the
road. Already has office.
I want to talk about the roadways when we come back, Richard, because it appears they're aware that the roadways are a sensitive part of this construction. And we're talking about the Obama Presidential Center, which has an alternative site offered fully, and we'll mention that when we come back. But roadways, 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 that's part of the infrastructure $2 trillion that the Biden administration is advancing. And we can imagine that because roadways are being built, you have to question all of them, not just the ones that favor you. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.